Kaiwanju to Health Matters, another fortnight. You can hear the program every Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. And if you miss it, or you can tell your mob to tune in on a Sunday night, 9 o'clock, just after Inside Out. Yes, I know that means you have to listen to me for 5 hours, but hey, what else can you do on a Sunday night? Well, we're going to be talking today about allied health and health science opportunities. And joining me in the studio, we have Ashley Fian, and he's a social worker with the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service. Hello, Ashley.
Hi, how are you going?
We actually know each other.
Yes, we do.
And, yes, you used to work with my little ADHD boy and helped us out so much. So great to have you on board here today for a bit of a catch-up and to talk about the great work that you're doing. Firstly, who's your mob? And secondly, what are you actually doing in your role? Tell us a bit more about your work role.
Yeah, no worries. My mum's from up Mullawar way, around the Port Hedland area too, some of our family. So we're from up north. I was removed and brought up down here in Noongar country, so that's my bit of story. Social work. Well, it's a big field. Primarily, I suppose, for me, working in mainstream mental health is to get Aboriginal families to access the service, because we're not that good at it. And we see our mental health is something a bit scary. But it's to educate Aboriginal families about, good mental health, I suppose, and getting them, to see some really good professionals that can, help them with whatever difficulty they're going through.
Looking forward to having lots of yarning time with you today. Also, Mel Robinson from the Aboriginal Health Department of Health. Gee, that's a long one. Mel is in the studio. Firstly, who's your mob, Mel? And tell us a bit more about what you actually do with Aboriginal Health.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I'm a Kimberley girl. I was born in Derby, so I've got connections to Narinyan country and Gidja country as well. I work as a senior development officer, but I'm also a registered nurse. That's my uni qual. Basically, what I do is around promoting and increasing the Aboriginal workforce in WA health. So I run lots of projects and programs to try and sort of promote what's out there, what the opportunities are for our kids and stuff, but also for people who are in uni or in training to come into jobs at the end of the day, trying to support them, trying to sort of create more space for Aboriginal people in health. So
yes, so today is basically letting people know and getting them interested in the health of their community and why they should consider the opportunities offered in allied health and health science areas. And I've got to give a plug for the website before I forget. health.wa.gov.au is where you can find so much more on our topic today. But Mel, we're going to have a bit of a yarn with you now.
Yep.
Bit of a background.
Yep. So really, I think when people think of like jobs in health, they always think like nurses, doctors, midwives, those kind of roles. But what we sort of want to promote today is that there is a lot more opportunities out there. So I just wanted to quickly go into some of the things that we do. So one of them is we provide a little bucket of funds to all the universities in Perth and also the Aboriginal registered training organisations as well to try and support our mob to go in and get a qualification. And then hopefully that will link them up to jobs at the end as well. So that's been quite successful, and they use that money for whatever they think the students need. Could be scholarships, could be hardship. But it's really just about getting the students into the courses and then keeping them to the end and then obviously supporting them into jobs as well.
Mm.
So that's been really good. We have some graduate programs that I wanted to plug today as well, which would be suitable for allied health people as well. Through the graduate development program, we have two places quarantined for Aboriginal people to apply for. So, you know, any of your mob listening out there today who are just finishing up their degree or have finished their degree in the last 2 years can apply for those, and they usually open up in the middle of the year, and there's information on the site as well, website. We also run a cadetship program. And that's for students who are enrolled in uni. Usually they've done their first semester and then they come to us, and I've got 6 cadets in that program at the moment. We get some money from Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet in Canberra, which gives them some allowance, and then we give them salary as well, and they work for us 60 days a year. So I place them out in all the different hospitals and services, and at the moment I've got about 5 in the department, and that's been a great program. We've been running that for the last couple of years, and all of those students either go on and get jobs in health or they go back to uni and do more study. And some of the students that we've got in that course, we've got a speech therapy student who's in third year now, which has been amazing because that's a degree that not many Aboriginal people know about. We've got some psychology students, and we've had some psych students in the past, and we've also got lots of health science students as well. So that's been a really great program. And, you know, anyone out there who's at uni at the moment might want to think about putting in for that when the places come up. So I usually go to the unis and do a bit of sort of targeting and stuff, you know. I've got contacts out there.
I picked up a book one day, yes, and it's called Aboriginal Pathways. Can you, yes, tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so we did quite a bit of work, and actually Ashley was one of the superstars in that booklet.
True, Ashley. Superstar.
And really that's about helping kids to see that there is opportunities out there, and it promotes a range of different ways you can get in. So it could be applying straight out for a job so you don't need any qualification, or it could be going and doing a course at one of the unis or at one of the TAFEs. And it's just really about trying to, you know, help kids understand in a simple way that there is lots out there, and hopefully it gives them advice, and it's that people love it. It's a great little booklet. It's available on the website. So, you know, if you've got young kids in your family or young people under 25, even for older people, I'd encourage them to go and have a look at it, you know, and it just gives them lots of advice, and everyone loves it, so.
I guess we should say, what is allied? What is allied health?
So it covers like a range of professions who aren't under, you know, nurses and midwives and doctors. So it's a bunch of professions. There's loads of them. But I'll name a few, like obviously social work's in there, psychology's in there, occupational therapies are in there. Oh, I've just been given a list. There's also like pharmacists are in there as well. There's audiology, dietetics. There's loads of different professions in there that cover like podiatry, physiotherapy. So it's just like a bunch of different professions that really play a vital role caring for people in the hospitals and in the community as well, and supporting the nurses and doctors and midwives and stuff. So it's a very diverse group of people.
We're going to come back and have a bit more of a yarn, but we're going to Archie Roach now. He's Healed the People.
I have suffered, yet I have cried. I know I let you down. I know that I was wrong. I'll make it up somehow. Give me one more chance. I need you desperately, 'cause where you are is where I wanna be. Where the sun is shining and you keep smiling, it's here that I belong. And you're the reason I keep believing the love I have is strong from now on. I'm giving it all to you. Hold me close, I can make it on my own. Wrap me in your arms and never let me go. When I was lost, your light showed me the way back to your door. And here I'm gonna stay. Where the sun is shining and you keep smiling, it's here that I belong. And you're the reason I keep believing the love I have is strong from now on. To you.
I'm Big Gill, and you're listening to Noongar Radio. Of course, don't forget the program that you're hearing now also will replay on Sunday night after Inside Out. That is 9 p.m. And I'm joined with my deadly guest today, Ashley Feehan, and he's a social worker, and also Mel Robinson, and she works with in the field of Aboriginal health. And we're talking about opportunities for our mob, not only to study but to work in allied health and also health science. So some great opportunities for your mob. So, Mel, I've got a few more questions for you. Why is it so important for our mob to be qualified in allied health and health science?
Yep. I think it's that thing that, you know, we're accessing hospitals and services in, you know, massive numbers. We know that Aboriginal people die younger than the mainstream non-Aboriginal population. We know we've got, you know, multiple health conditions, chronic health issues. And when you come into a service, you want to see that friendly face who knows your family, knows where you come from, knows who you are, sort of thing. And I think until we increase our numbers so people can have that opportunity to go in and actually work alongside an Aboriginal health professional and have someone care for them who understands where they're coming from, I think we just need to promote as many options for people as we can find, because people won't access a service unless they know they feel safe. And I think that's really important, having Aboriginal workers in that service to create that opportunity.
You are so right. I think you just hit it on the head there, because look, our mob sometimes don't like going to doctors.
Mm.
And once they go to the doctors and find out things are wrong, and they have to go to other services such as the allied service, they don't want to go.
Mm.
So I think that's really important, that it is a friendly environment, and they do see, you know, a face there, you know. Mm. They might not know that face, but they know it's a black fella, you know, and yeah. I think that's really inviting, and I think that's, you know, that's the only way to be. Now, so with allied health, where can people work? Is it just hospitals?
No,
those services are offered.
Yep, we have people in the community as well. So in the community, we'd have more sort of the mental health workers, the social emotional wellbeing workers. But we also have allied health therapy assistants that also can be based in the community or come out and do home visits and stuff. So an allied therapy assistant can help a physio or an occupational therapist or a speech therapist and do exercise programs and, you know, speech programs with community members in their home and stuff, but also in a hospital service as well. But it's just really about making sure people getting the care that they need, so obviously they can get better and go back to normal life and, you know, live the life they should be living, you know what I mean? So
that's true. Ashley, 20 years as a social worker.
Plus, 20 plus, yep.
20 plus. Well, I've got a question for myself. I've got lots of notes in front of me, yep. But that is a long time for anyone to be in a certain field. What's kept you there?
Well, I've done a variety of things. You know, I've worked, you know, with youth. I've worked in the family law court. That was quite a stressful job. I've gone back to mental health now, so I've worked for Department of Corrective Services. So I've gone out there and explored, you know, what can a social worker do?
Mm. So obviously a lot, or you wouldn't be sitting back in the position.
Look, I've just barely scratched the surface. I'm still learning,
yeah.
You know, and I suppose especially in mental health, as we get better at diagnosing people, as we get better with medication, and as we get better at reaching people, the field for mental health just goes bigger and bigger. So, you know, it's 2017, and we're really trying to, you know, access the Aboriginal population now, you know, so that's something new for mainstream mental health.
Mm. So, you know, what types of people do you help in terms of, you know, medical conditions that people have?
Well, we help a lot of people who are severely depressed. We help a lot of people who are highly anxious, and highly anxious people are really, you know, quite flighty and can be quite aggressive, and they don't understand their condition. We help people who have got, you know, a lot of environmental factors in the home that are really impacting on the well-being of the child, the well-being of all the children. So it's amazing when you've got a, you know, if you've got a supportive family and a supportive community, you can produce a really good individual, you know, but you need all those things to work together. So it's about access, and it's about, you know, understanding, you know, the individual, I suppose, in the family context and the community context.
Mm. I know with working with you in the past with one of my sons is that not only do you develop a relationship, but you actually go through a good journey with the person. So this isn't a band-aid job, you know, it's nothing quick. You're there for the long haul and to be very supportive. You know, how do people improve their lives by seeing a social worker?
Well, I think one of the main things is if you can understand yourself and how you work, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, or whether you're, you know, you like country and western music or you don't, you know, it's really having that type of knowledge to know where you fit. You know, and if you're doing things that aren't healthy for yourself, you're not going to get a healthy outcomes. So getting in touch with a social worker can get you in contact with somebody that can really be objective, look at you, look at your family, look at your support group, get you the right care, and if it's really you know, specific care that you need, then we'll point you in that direction, take you to those appointments, and make sure that you receive that specialised help.
Mm. Now, being Aboriginal and working with Aboriginal people, is that a good advantage? In the role that you're working?
Yeah. Look, I provide some cultural comfort, you know, in regards to Aboriginal people, and especially for young males, you know, who aren't good with their language.
Mm.
And I always tell the young fellas, you know, look, language, you know, the more you learn about language, the more you can free yourself. And so I really help, I suppose, young black fellas to think more and to, you know, discuss things a bit more rather than bottling it all up. So being Aboriginal, it does help, you know, especially when people who have got, you know, a severe mental illness and they're sitting there talking to a, whether it be a white doctor or a black doctor, they still can't understand the language. So we try and break it down for them. You know? And I'll spend a lot more time with them before they get to the appointment so that their nerves will be a lot settled. It's not about blaming. It's about understanding who you are and what you need.
Mm. Do you also see yourself in the role of a buddy?
Well, people can get attached to us, and that's, you know, that's understandable. I try and look for supports within the system. I'm only there for a short time, which is I always tell people that their journey of healing goes on long after I've left. So that however they heal, we try to get family supports in there, you know, that sustains their good mental health.
Mm. What good outcomes have you seen in patients using social work services? Maybe you've got an example without naming anyone that you could share with us today.
Well, if we can keep families together, that's the main thing. We can get the family system running properly. Some good outcomes would be that, you know, young people finish their education and don't end up in the justice system. So that's a good outcome. Yeah. They don't have to be, long. They could be as simple as getting connected to community. Some people feel like they're really detached from community, therefore they've got no respect for community, therefore they don't value it at all. So, and it's about getting people, back to family.
Sounds good to me, and so does
it works.
It definitely does. I want to talk more with you about this because I think this is really important. And we're talking today with Mel and Ashley on Health Matters about allied health and health science opportunities. We mob start studying what we're talking about and getting some great jobs in there and helping more of our mob. Barlett Brothers, Last Resistance on Health Matters. I'm Big Girl. This is Noongar Radio.
Because we won't be going down, yeah. This is the last.
tingling down, yeah. This is the life's resistance. It's time to make a stand. It's time to move as one, because we won't be going down.
I just love the Bartlett Brothers. Who wouldn't love the Bartlett Brothers? Lots of local music playing here on Noongar Radio. This is Health Matters. I'm Big Girl, and we're talking about careers in allied health and also health science. So great opportunities, and with me is Ashley Fionn. He's a social worker, and from Aboriginal Health, we have Mel Robinson in. Now, Ashley, I asked you a really important question because I always love hearing the real stuff like life experiences. So can you share with us a bit of a success story that you've had whilst being a social worker?
Well, I suppose there are lots of them, but there's one that sticks out in particular. We had a couple of young lads in a family that were, really struggling, and they were on that synthetic marijuana, and so they developed an early psychosis. So they were hearing voices and seeing things. So it was important, I suppose, for me to get to know the family. They came to the attention to our service. I think it was through the police. It could have been a conversation I've had with another worker in the field. But I'd go around to the house and I'd be talking to the mother about her difficulties and you know, what's the struggles within the family. And as I got her confidence, she just conveyed to me that her oldest boy isn't well. Mm-hmm. And he's been hearing voices. He's been constantly on his mobile phone listening to music to try to block those voices out. So I suppose what I did was I'd get his confidence and mum's confidence, and they'd both come with me, and we'd go and see a doctor and look at medication as opposed to more drugs and more alcohol, because this was the track this boy was heading down. So if we could steer them to some good medication, and we were hoping to get some good outcomes for him, and take away that anguish and that pain that this young boy is suffering, because we want him to lead a productive life. Even if he has a mental health illness, he can still be productive in community.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So and for the whole family in general, you know, to see their child, you know, or their brother, their sister suffer in that way, it takes a big toll on them.
Mm. So what happened.
So we did get him, yes. It took about 6 to 7 months going to the clinic, getting him to see some psychiatrist who'd administer, you know, a course of medication to see how that was working on him. Different medications do different things to different people. As I say, it took about 7 months for him, and then slowly the voices started to disappear. And as I'd be turning up to this young man's house, I mean, we're talking about a young man here who was so scared of himself that he'd threatened to kill himself a number of times. He'd be constantly showering, he'd be constantly pacing up and down, so his mental health was deteriorating more and more and more. We went from that to a young man who's, you know, wearing his baseball cap, got a nice clean shirt on, nice clean trousers. The earplugs are out of his head now. He can listen to, you know, normal sounds like everybody else does instead of hearing those voices. The voice is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. His head got that crowded. He was going, you know, he didn't know what was going on for him. But having a good psychiatrist, having a good team around me to support this young person, I've got an individual now that I'm able to transport to or pass over to the adult mental health service now. So he's in adult now, so and he's on a good course of medication, and he's you know, living a productive life now.
That's a deadly story. And did you see the change in mum as well?
Well, oh, absolutely. Mum was she started to smile more.
Oh,
it's as simple as that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we're talking about allied health, and I'm thinking, you know, as I'm listening to you, Ashley, you know, I've got to say to both yourself and Mel, well, we should have more Aboriginal psychiatrists and psychologists, because, you know, mental health is a big one.
Absolutely.
With our mob. So we do hope that you're listening, and if you are, and you want to let people know about these opportunities we're talking about, do tune in on Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Ashley, I know that when I was dealing with a lot of issues with my son, and as I mentioned before, you know, we know each other from your social work with my son back in the day.
Yep.
Well, don't say how many years, because that'll make us look cruel old, and I've just dyed my greys this week, Ashley. But we had the mental health issues, but we had the school issues as well, which to me as a parent were just as heavy as the issues that my son was having with his mental health. Let's talk about school. Well, how to keep them in there.
Yeah, yeah.
How to get them back in there when they drop out.
Well,
do you do much?
Yeah, we work real close with schools. You know, we work real close with. There's a lot of great principals and deputy principals out there. There's some great teachers. School psychs are invaluable. Bentley CAMS, Clarkson CAMS, and I think this is going to go through all the child and adolescent services, that, you know, school refusal programs are something that we're really trying to tap into. And we've run a few school refusal programs where, you know, the young person, if he's not attending school, he'll come to our clinic. We'll work through some of the issues that he's got either with himself. That might be a lack of confidence. He might be a highly anxious kid who's even afraid to go out the front door. So we'll try and build up their self-esteem.
Tell us a bit more about this. I mean, do you get a referral from the school, or tell us a bit more? What is the school refusal program? Because I haven't heard of it.
Well, the school refusal program gets a small group of young people who don't attend school. So we try to get them into a routine. We try to look at why they aren't school refusing, and we look at all those little triggers that stop them from getting on the school bus and going into. There might be some bullying at school, so we need to go to school and negotiate with the teachers and the school psych and other professionals to address some of those issues. It might be social media is a big one these days.
What do you mean?
Well, social media, kids are all talking on social media these days, so that'll stop them from going to school. If there's a group of children out there or young people out there that are attacking them on social media,
I thought you meant they wasn't going to school because they're on Facebook.
Well, that
could be one too, but what are you talking about?
All that's relative. You know,
being harassed and
absolutely,
all that.
Absolutely. Oh. So school refusal is going up quite a bit, and there's an untapped population that the school aren't sure what to do with, and that families aren't sure what to do with. But if we all work together for a solution, and this program, the school refusal program, it's about building their confidence. It's about having good health professionals that are in there, psychologists, social workers, that'll listen to what the issues are with the young people. And we might find out, hey, look, they've got a learning difficulty, so they don't go to school because they're behind and they feel ashamed, and so they won't attend class. So we need to be able to work with some of the teaching and other staff at schools just to say, okay, how can we get an individual program for this young person so we can dovetail? Because education is vitally important for, you know, black fellas, they're white fellas, everybody.
School is very important. Obviously, you'd like to get it all done at the right age and not go back, you know, as a mature student and stuff, even though that's good that you do that. Ash and Mel, I'm just wondering, it's great, the program and that, but at first it starts at home with the family, where the kids, the parents or the carers see that a child doesn't want to go to school. What do we do? Can we give some tips out? How do we approach a child? How do we see the signs? obviously the first sign that I see is I'm sick. Mm. Oh, never mind, I never want to get healthy.
Go to your GP.
Go to your doctor, straight
yeah,
out.
Straight out, and they'll come up with a mental health plan.
Yeah.
And from that mental health plan, you might have a child and adolescent clinic, your nearest one. They may be involved, and that referral, and we'll follow that referral up.
Should you ask what's bothering them? Because it is a very sensitive thing, especially if they're teenagers and they've got adolescents as well knocking on their door.
Look,
Mel, what would you do? I mean,
I'm sort of going through it now, and she'll be like, "Mum, shame, shut up." But my daughter's turning 14 this year, yeah. And for me, it's about keeping the communication open. And sometimes she's like, "I don't want to tell you things because you always got something to say. Just be quiet and listen." So I have to really work on that, having that trust that she'll share stuff with me, and I'm not judging her, and I'm not telling her what to do. And I think, you know, you see the signs. You do see the signs, even if they're not talking to you, that things are going on. You know, they start, their mood changes, their behaviour changes, and, you know, they start saying, "Oh, I've got a sore tummy, I can't go to school," and all that stuff. And I think it's really important just to link up to the services that are out there, one, knowing how to do that. So your GP is a good point of call. And just having those conversations and asking them. But sometimes they don't want to talk to you. So sometimes what I do with her is, you know, she's really connected to some of my friends who are younger, and she'll yarn to them, you know, and tell them stuff. So I get them to sort of help me out and have conversations with her. But also I think, you know, kids growing up now have a lot of pressure on them. You know, sometimes because we're away from our country, you know, that disconnection from community. So I make sure she goes home regularly, visits family, you know, and we go to, you know, Aboriginal stuff. So she knows that if her spirit's strong and she's feeling strong in her culture, it makes life a lot easier. So I think it's really important to take them to NAIDOC things and do stuff. But while you're there, you can see lots of these services there. So go up and have a yarn to them. Ask for help, you know. No shame in asking for help. And sometimes as parents, we think we can do it ourselves, but we need help, you know. So
yeah, definitely. More on Allied Health on Health Matters. Right up now, Bianca May with Healing Wounds. You're with me, Big Girl, on Health Matters, and you may be thinking about being a doctor or a nurse, working in a hospital, but there are other opportunities in health, and that's what we're talking about on the program today with Ashley Fian and also Mel Robinson, and we're talking about allied health and health science opportunities. And Mel, I think we should do a bit of a refresher on how people can get more involved and how they can access like studies and things like that for our mob.
Yep. I think what's really important for anyone to know, and doesn't matter how old you are or where you come from, that a lot of our mobs struggle in the school system. And this is not a new thing. It's been happening forever, you know. And so I think a lot of people come to me and go, oh, I'd never be able to do that. Like, I was terrible at school, you know. I failed, I dropped out, whatever. But actually, that isn't a barrier now. There's so many different other pathways other than school. Yeah, you might be in school, don't be listening to this, because you need to do as best you can at school. But if you didn't do well in school, there is other pathways. So all the unis now offer bridging courses. So you can come in and do that bridging or enabling, and there's no way that they block you because you did bad at school. In fact, they don't care, you know, how you did at school. Obviously, it's helpful for them to know because they can support you a bit more in uni. But there is other pathways, you know. The TAFEs are very flexible if you like the practical hands-on kind of learning. Some students do a TAFE course first and then go on to uni. So there's lots of opportunities out there, and I think what's difficult coming through school systems and even out of school into a different system is knowing what to do, knowing where to go, knowing where to get advice and stuff. And I guess for us, that's why we did the Pathways booklet, as a way to sort of, you know, show you that there is lots out there. But, you know, don't be put off by a bad experience. Like, sometimes you're on a road and then that road changes and you go a different direction. But at the end of the day, it's about you dreaming big. And, you know, having a go. So
I think that's really important, because my son had to do that. Dropped out halfway through year 10 and now doing, and completed that, and now going back and doing year 11. And yes, and I can just hear myself saying, no, I don't want to study, I can't do that. But if you're looking at getting jobs with that require a lot of qualifications, you're going to have to, you know, at least complete, you know, year 12. So,
well, not necessarily.
No. Oh, Ashley,
I went and did the bridging course.
Yes.
So that was fantastic.
Yep.
It was the first time I sat in a classroom full of my own people. It was just, it was brilliant. I did year 10, year 11, went and became a tradesman, and then I thought, well, there's got to be something after doing a trade for, you know, 20 years. I've joined the bridging course. I got in there through as a mature student. So educationally, you know, you can take different paths, and you know, if you've got an inquisitive mind and you want to learn more, you never stop learning. Yeah, go do it.
Your advice is go and do it.
Yeah, don't give up on yourself. You know, you can take the long way, and the long way's not a bad way. You know, the long way is another way. That's all it is.
Mm.
You know, but learning never stops. You know, and you meet some fantastic people along the way. So
go and do it, your mom. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, trying to stop ourselves from doing things. And look at you, 20 years in social work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeez.
Still there. Hopefully another 20 more.
Yeah?
Well, I hope so.
You reckon?
Yeah, well, we need lots of men in this in the social work field. So I'm hoping that that if there's one message from today, is that more men in this profession. There's a lot of females, psychologists, social workers, in the nursing profession. So, but what we need, male social workers. It's there's some young men out there struggling, and some of these young men are surrounded by females, and so quite often I'll be the first male that they've seen that day. That's
thank
quite
goodness, not a woman, no.
Well, it's just that it's comforting for the young men, you know.
And sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes they like talking to like a mother figure.
Absolutely.
It's an individual thing, isn't it?
Toys,
but same. I can definitely... Do you think that we have more problems with our young men when we're looking at young men and young women?
Well, I think that... I think they both have their issues, don't get me wrong, but I think that the young men struggle to find the language to ask for help. You know, so I think we've got to try and create that language for them, however that, whatever that is, you know, however their community talk, and whoever they talk to, you know, and we've got to offer them hope that, you know, things will get better. We've got to offer them hope that they have got a place in community. We've got to offer them hope that there is a good life out there for them, you know. So, and sometimes, as you say, yeah, they want to talk to a woman. That's great. Sometimes I'll go out with a female, you know, and whoever they engage with well, whoever they, you know, find more comfortable to talk to, I'll let that happen. So, yeah. Creating that opportunity is something that we just need to do across you know, black, white and brindle, you know.
Definitely. We're going to go to down the old York Road with Carrie and Carol Yarran. This is from the Shine album. Yeah, or you Keller Bear and Mob. Have a listen to this one. We're going to come back and we're going to wrap up Health Matters with myself, Big Girl, and Mel and Ash.
Down the old York Road, down the old York Road.
Reach them, Yaron Yorgers, and of course Glynis Watt in there as well, down the Old York Road on Health Matters. I'm Big Girl and you're listening to Noongar Radio, and of course it's been a fantastic hour talking with you, Ash, and also Mel, talking about something really important, and that's getting our mob into allied services. I mean, how would it be walking in to a hospital or whatever and the first person you see is a black fella? And next minute, second person you see is a black fella. Mm. Hey, Mel.
Oh, look, totally. And, you know, I guess that's part of what keeps me going, because some days, you know, it's hard, is around that fact that I have this dream that one day someone will be able to go into a service or have people in the community coming to see them, and they just have lots of Aboriginal professionals there. And we're slowly building that, but it takes time. But I think the more people that come out and come and get jobs, and, you know, it just makes it so much better of an experience for people from community, for local people, you know. And I've seen it so many times where people come into a service, they're really sick, they're really unwell, and just seeing that one face, you know, that connects you to country, connects you to community, it's really powerful. And they tend to stay, and then they get their treatment, and then they get better, and then they go home, you know what I mean? So it's huge.
Comfort and trust is a fantastic thing, and they're just simple things. And speaking of simple, off air, you just had this simple yarn.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to share it?
Yeah, yeah. Good one. I'd love to share it. It's a story that will always stay with me. It's a story about an old black fellow that was locked up in the Pilbara there, and fine defaulting, and his mental health was going down. He's trapped inside four walls, and all he can do is look out the bars. And but the copper, the police sergeant there, who is quite intuitive, he was he says, how can I take some of his pain away? So all he did was he put a tray under his bed and filled it full of red dirt. So every morning when the old fellow woke up, he'd put his feet in the dirt, and he'd feel at ease and feel like he was at home. So I thought that was a great story. And so it doesn't have to be something fantastic, but something small and really personal. So, yeah, I'll always remember that.
Priceless, I tell you. So for more information on the different pathways and cadetship programs for Aboriginal people, go to the careers page of the health website, health.wa.gov.au. And we've been talking today on allied health and allied science with the beautiful Mel and the beautiful Ash as well. Thank you so much. And thank you both. First time on radio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have played a joke or two on you. Never mind. Time has run out. Don't forget the program. We'll repeat Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Signing off. Thank you so much.
See you later, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.